I want to prevent a certain type of party from happening in your life and in my life. When was the last time you hosted a pity party? Have you ever sat around feeling sorry for yourself? Do you think it's okay to have a pity party? Should we laugh about this, or should we consider it as sinful? How can you avoid falling into self-pity? What can we do to pull down the woe is me banner that we've put up? Well, in Luke chapter 10, Martha holds a pity party. She believes that Mary took advantage of her by sitting and listening to Jesus' teaching while she served all by herself. As Martha says in verse 40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" You can see she feels sorry for herself, and she believes Jesus should tell her sister to get up and help her. So a pity party is underway at this point. And you can see the balloons, they're being blown up. The big woe is me banner is being pinned up onto the wall. Martha's attitude towards Christ is sinful. Did you hear what she said? Martha said, "Lord, do you not care?" She believes that Christ in action reveals a lack of care. But in reality, Martha is not taking the time to sit and listen to Christ and caring about what matters most. Her priorities are not what they should be. Well, how do you define pity? When you have pity on someone, you are compassionate towards them. Your heart is moved by their situation. In contrast, self-pity is you feeling sorry for yourself and sorry about your circumstances. In other words, it's all about me. You are unhappy and you're self-absorbed and you want other people's attention because of your problems. Martha's entire focus in the passage is on blaming her sister. She complains that she was left all alone to serve all by herself. As a result, her selfish pity occurs. And Jesus corrects her for her sinful reaction. The scriptures tell us to rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. The Bible doesn't tell us to grumble and whine in all circumstances. Now, it's good for the believer to cry out to God. But that isn't the type of crying that we're seeing in the passage. Rather, she was anxiously troubled and busy. And Jesus tells her that Mary is doing God's will by sitting and listening to him teach. Now, self-pity. Let's think. What causes it? It's an unbelieving response that shows you don't trust God, that he really controls your circumstances. We've got to get this. Martha is questioning the Lord's care of her situation when she says, "Lord, do you not care?" Ultimately, self-pity indicates you proudly believe you deserve better from God. That's a prideful attitude to suggest that Christ was missing something and that he did a bad job. And we see this unbelief in places like Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was on the boat and he was asleep. Upon waking up, what did the disciples say to him? They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you hear that? In response to their question, Christ says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Christ makes it clear that their question was rooted in unbelief. An individual who has a pity party expresses their unbelief in the same way. If you're a believer, you must believe that God really cares for you as much as the Bible says he does. We've got to believe Psalm 84:11 that the Lord really does bestow favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. We got to believe he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, those in self-pity, they don't believe this. They believe this thought that God has totally abandoned them. Now, let me give an example from church history. Missionary Barbara Udarian. Her husband Roger was, along with Jim Elliott and three others who were martyred over 60 years ago. And she wrote the following.
"Tonight the captain told us of his finding four bodies in the river. One had a t-shirt and blue jeans. Rog was the only one who wore them. God gave me this verse 2 days ago, Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. As I came face to face with the news of Roger's death, my heart filled with praise. He was worthy of his homegoing. Help me, Lord, to be both mummy and daddy. I wrote a letter to the mission family, trying to explain the peace I have. I want to be free of self-pity. It is a tool of Satan to rot away a life. I am sure that this is the perfect will of God. Many will say, why did Rog get mixed up in this when his work was with the Jivaros? Because Rog came to do the will of him that sent him. The Lord has closed our hearts to grief and hysteria and filled in with his perfect peace.
Well, why did she not wallow in self-pity? She was convinced of something. She said this, I am sure that this is the perfect will of God. You see, when you believe that, you won't be sorry for yourself. Furthermore, you won't just be neutral in the sense that, you know, I'm going to get over it without getting really depressed. No, no, you can have joy. Despite your suffering, despite my suffering, we can still experience perfect peace. Not just I didn't have self-pity, but I actually have peace. However, Martha was not confident that her situation was God's will, feeling instead that, you know, he didn't really care for her. In fact, she even seemed to believe that her sister had wronged her and that God, that Christ had wronged her. Compare this to what Barbara went through. She was convinced it was God's perfect will. She responded in faith, not unbelief. And just even think for a moment, the drastic difference in the severity of their trials. Martha had to clean the house alone. Barbara had to now raise her children alone, without a husband. Yet for Barbara, despite far worse conditions, God gave her the grace to respond in a God-honoring way. And he can give you the same grace. Faith such as that, it just soars above the muck and mire of self-pity. Whether the trial is small, such as having to serve alone, or significant as losing your husband, don't let self-pity rot your life away. Pray to God to give you the strength to honor Christ with your conduct. Now, we need to identify some ways that self-pity manifests itself so you and I can avoid letting it destroy our spiritual life. Number one, how often do you complain and seek attention for your circumstances? Right? In Luke 10, Martha went up to Christ. Right? There was no need for her to say anything to Christ, but she wanted to get him involved. And often when someone's having a pity party, they're not just content to have it by themselves. They want to pull others into the big hole that they've dug. And a person, they try to draw attention to their problems and explain, you know, how this person has wronged me. Their goal is to get people to agree with them and to take their side. Rather than going to Mary, Martha went to Christ. And Jesus disagreed with her complaint, and he corrects her. So do you fall into that tactic at all, trying to draw attention to yourselves? Maybe some post on social media, trying to get attention and pity from individuals rather than going and taking your concerns to the Lord? Secondly, what do you do when you are not treated the way you would like to be treated? Are you prone to throwing pity parties when you are not invited somewhere? And you think, well, that's ridiculous. No, no. Think of the prodigal's brother in Luke 15. He was angry and refused to go in to the celebration for his brother who had returned. Instead, he complained about all of his years of service and how, you know, Father, you never gave me a young goat, right? The self-pity party was the result of his perception that he had been treated unfairly by his father. It was his goal to now make everyone else feel bad and condemned. Often self-pity, it sadly seeks to punish others by making them feel guilty. A third thing, would you describe yourself as demanding? Remember Martha? She went up and said, help me. A person in self-pity demands that others relieve them of their misery rather than changing their own hearts and being content with what God has given them. They demand a change of circumstances. And Martha's heart problem would not have been solved if Mary helped Martha serve, right? The only thing that it would have achieved if she would have given in to Martha's manipulation would have been to basically solidify to her that I get rewarded if I have this conduct so I can keep acting this way and I'm able to bend people to obey me and do what I want. So then her sinful attitude, it never gets brought to the surface. It never becomes visible to everyone. Fourthly, do you have a low opinion of yourself all of the time? To some, it might appear that you have humility, but this actually can just be false humility. It's common for the self-pitying people to seek that type of affirmation. They want to draw attention to themselves. However, affirming them in their false humility, again, it's only going to reinforce their desire to manipulate you further because they see how it works to get their way. So thus, by doing that, we're encouraging them to act that way again in the future. Fifth, do you have a hard time accepting criticism? Have you ever shared your idea with someone and right away they critiqued it instead of embracing it? What was your response? Think of Cain's response in Genesis 4. Really think about it. The Lord had regard for Abel, not Cain, but verse 5, it says this, "For Cain and his offering, the Lord had no regard." So Cain was very happy for his brother? No, angry, and his face fell. And the Lord then said to Cain, "Well, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen?" Sounds like self-pity, right? And what happened shortly thereafter? When they were in the field, it says Cain rose up against his brother Abel, and he killed him. In their pride, the person having a self-pity party, they retaliate. If they can't get sympathy from others, if no one treats them how they think they deserve, they might even go kill someone like Cain did. Jesus, however, says in verse 42 of Luke 10 that he's not going to let Martha's manipulation take Mary away from that which is good. And Christ actually protects Mary from being taken away from that which is good by turning and reproving Martha. I mean, isn't that amazing? Christ protects the believer from being pulled away based on someone's manipulation. A sixth thing, how do you respond when you have unmet expectations? Are you quick to sink into a pool of self-pity and feel sorry for yourself? Think about Matthew chapter 20. The servants who had worked all day, they thought they would receive more, right? They have an expectation, but then they received less than they expected. What did they do? They grumbled. However, the Lord replies in verse 13 by saying, "I am doing you no wrong." And that implies that their statement was an accusation that the Lord was doing them wrong. Incredible. When things are taken away from us, such as a job, a health, a position, a spouse, we can easily fall into self-pity. We can easily start to think God has wronged us. The Lord hasn't wronged us. I hope you can see that in the same way as all these previous examples, this is all based on not trusting the Lord. Do you see how the greatest sin in all of this isn't self-pity? It's unbelief. It's unbelief. It's not trusting God. So when we start to see the balloons inflating and we're going to fall into a pity party, there is a way to prevent a pity party from happening. Do I just need to have someone tell me, quit feeling sorry for yourself and get over it? No. Instead, tell them why they shouldn't feel sorry for themselves. While in the wilderness, the Israelites, they complained. And they complained again and again. They complained about their food portions. And in spite of this, if they would only have thought correctly, they would have realized that it was far better to be in those circumstances than to be back in the slavery in Egypt. So we need to use God's word to speak sense into someone and into ourselves to realize that what we have in Jesus Christ and the salvation we have, why would we ever think that God has wronged us? He's done the greatest thing. How can we complain about these other things that really are minor? Secondly, when you're being tempted to fall into self-pity, where were you focusing leading into that situation? Did you already have your energy invested in that which should be a priority? Think about Martha. Her priorities led her to be anxious and troubled rather than choose that which was the good thing. She already had a wrong focus. Christ is there at their house. She's anxious and troubled about serving him rather than being seated and being fed. So she's in a vulnerable spot to fall into self-pity because she was already distracted from the beginning from that which was best, learning from Christ. The Lord diagnosed Martha's problem as being anxious and troubled about many things. So as it's been said, service for the king was getting in the way of the king himself. The woman who was not listening to his teachings was now being taught that you need to find in Christ your great priority. Mary's inactivity, maybe it looked problematic to Martha, but that was actually really impressive compared to Martha's excessive activity. So ask yourself, is there something in your life sidetracking you from Christ, and that creates this vulnerability in your life to give into self-pity? Thirdly, you want to not fall into self-pity? Think about Christ. Despite suffering so severely, he never had a pity party. In Matthew 26, Peter says, I'll never fall away from you. I will never deny you. And yet we read in verse 56, all the disciples left him and fled. What did Christ say to those who abandoned him? Did he go have a pity party? Perfect opportunity to have a pity party. Instead, in Luke 22, we read that Jesus had told Peter that he would pray for him, that his faith would not fail. Incredible. Is that how you and I respond to people who don't keep their promises to us? Christians, who are we to feel sorry for ourselves when Christ bore our sorrows and suffered our wrath that we deserve? Our punishment in eternal hell would have been the greatest sorrow in the world, but Christ has come and he's borne our punishment for us and he saved us from it. I mean, we literally have no reason to feel sorry for ourselves. We have been treated far better than we deserve. You know what? The time that you and I spend in self-pity, it's time we're never going to get back. Barbara Udarian was right. Don't rot your life away in self-pity. And if you do, your problems will only get worse and worse as you wallow in self-pity. It's not a solution. And whatever accusation you have right now today against the Lord, that you think the Lord has wronged you, if he's paying someone else the same for the labor and you've worked 6 hours longer, don't grumble. The Lord has done you no wrong. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, then call upon him by faith. Matthew 20, verse 34, it says, Jesus in pity touched their eyes. He healed them, and he can heal you of your sins as well. Our world desperately needs Christ's compassion and pity. And so rather than have a pity party, and someone needs to call the ambulance to pick you up because you're complaining how you were left out of something, realize you are able to be a partaker of Christ and not be left out of eternal life. I mean, who are we as believers to complain? We should be those who rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances because of Christ's pity towards us. And so may the Lord help us to be done with pity parties, but to have parties rejoicing in what Christ has done, even when we face the most difficult of circumstances.